a priest and priesthood. The word priest, according to Young's Concordance in the Old Testament, means a prince, minister, priest, from the word K-O-H-E-N. In the New Testament, the word is H-I-E-R-E-U-S, means a priest, or with ark, A-R-C, in front, means a high or chief priest, which is used this way a large number of times. It's similar in Strong's Concordance too. And the word prince can mean also priest, minister, exalted, lifted up, anointed. Priesthood means priestly office or assembly of priests. And Vine's Expository Dictionary has some interesting reading when you might have time to have a look at it. As there is priests today of many religions, so there was in times gone past. In Acts chapter 14, verse 8, it tells of Paul healing a crippled man from birth, and the priests of Jupiter wanted to make sacrifices unto him and Barnabas, and they had a job to stop them. That was at the city of Lystra. Further back in Exodus chapter 2, when Moses fled from Egypt to Midian, he helped the seven daughters of Jethro, the priest of Midian, with their sheep. In the margin it has prince for priest. And one of Jethro's daughters, Zipporah, was later given to Moses as a wife. Back further, when Joseph was exalted by Pharaoh, from Genesis 41:41, Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "See, I have set you over all the land of Egypt." Then he took off his ring off his hand and put it on Joseph's hand, arrayed him in vestures of fine linen or silk, and put a gold chain around his neck. And he made him ride in the second chariot, and they cried before him, "Bow the knee," and he was made ruler over the land of Egypt. It is very interesting that for bow the knee in the margin has a tender father, and is connected with Genesis 45 verse 8. When his brothers were before him who sold Joseph into Egypt, he said, "God sent me before you to preserve a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance." So ones of you that have been studying Genesis recently, bring back some memories. So it is not you that sent me hither, but God. He hath made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Then he sent them to bring his father down, and they and their children and flocks, and lived in the land of Goshen. To verse 10, a tender father, some lovely thoughts here of our Lord Jesus for mankind. In Genesis 41, Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zephathnath-Panech, meaning a revealer of secrets, or one to whom secrets are revealed. He gave him a wife, Aseneth, the daughter of Potipharah, a priest or prince of On. Genesis 46:20 tells us of the two sons of Joseph and Aseneth, were Manasseh and Ephraim. In Genesis from 14, chapter 14, 17 to 20, we can go back further there in time, now to Abraham, the father of the faithful, when he came back from the slaughter of the kings who had captured Lot and his brother's son and his provisions. Melchizedek, king of Salem, came upon the scene. He was priest of the Most High God, and he brought forth bread and wine, and he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand." And he, that is Abraham, gave him a tithe or a tenth. This is the only place where Melchizedek is mentioned until we come to Psalm 110, verse 4. And it says, "The Lord hath sworn and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, referring to Jesus' glorification by God after his faithfulness unto death. And this is shown particularly wrote about in Hebrews chapter 5 to 7, as Hebrews 5, 4 to 10, 6 to verse 20, and chapter 7, 1 to 4. After God delivered Israel from Egypt, he told Moses to say to the people that if they would obey his voice, they would be a peculiar people unto him, above all people on the earth, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Exodus 19. The firstborn that were passed over in the night of the tenth plague or the death angel were later exchanged for the tribe of Levi, of whom the priesthood came from the descendants of Aaron, the high priest, and the others of the tribe were the Levites were helped the priests, and they had no inheritance in the land. Look now at Jesus becoming a high priest of the order of Melchizedek. Hebrews 7 verse 12 tells us, the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change of the law. Let's look at some of the changes. Verse 13, for it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which Moses spoke nothing concerning priesthood. Also he hath the power of an endless life. If perfection was through the Levitical priesthood, why should there be a need of another priest should arise after the order of Melchizedek? Hebrews 7:21. For these priests were made without an oath, but this made with an oath by him who said unto him, the Lord sworn and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now verse 28. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmities, but the word of the oath, which was since the law, this oath is in Psalm 110 verse 4, must have been made after the law was given. But the word of the oath which was since the law, make the Son who is consecrated forevermore. This is only one of two places in the New Testament where the word consecrated is used, and a number of translations render it perfect or qualified. The 20th century New Testament reads, name the Son as for all time the perfect priest. Hebrews 5 verse 4 and 5, no man taketh this honour unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but as he said unto him, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. We've had some of Brother Robin on about being called and so forth. Now, and Psalm 2 verse 7 is quoted in Acts 13:33 about Jesus' resurrection. So those were called of God to this position. So Jesus came out of Judah. He was made with an oath after the law. He was perfected or qualified forever. And Hebrews 5, 8 and 9, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all those who obey him. He did not take this position himself, but was called by God. What is the purpose of the high priest? Hebrews 5, 1 tells us, for every high priest taken from among men is ordained or appointed for men and things pertaining or matters relating to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins, who can have compassion on the ignorant and them that are out of the way, for he himself is compassed with infirmities. In Hebrews chapter 8 from verse 1, it tells us more about this. Now the things which we have spoken, the chief point is this. The Authorized Standard Version says, We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. God told Moses when making the tabernacle to make all things according to the pattern shown to him on the mount, because it and its services are only an example and shadow of heavenly things. Verse 5. In the beginning of Hebrews it tells us, God has in the last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things. Chapters 1 and verse 2. Now verse 5. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son, and his throne shall be forever and ever in righteousness. Verse 8. Jesus said unto his early disciples that if anyone wanted to follow him, that they would need to deny self and take up their cross and follow him, forsaking the things of this world, except for what was necessary and decent. Many years later on, the first disciples to follow Jesus, Apostle Peter in 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 5 tells us, Ye also are living stones, I built up a spiritual house and a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Christ Jesus. They are lively or living stones and part of a spiritual household, also a part of a holy priesthood. How would you offer spiritual sacrifices when you are part of a spiritual house? I like to think of it as offering earthly human things in the interest of spiritual. It is said spiritual is not in the oldest manuscripts. The Living Bible translates it, offer to God those things that please him. In verse 9, Peter continues, But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvellous light. A royal priesthood. Royalty has to do with a king. A king comes from a prince. And remember, a prince is one of the meanings for priest. A prince, minister, one lifted up, exalted. In Revelation 20 verse 6, 4 to 6 in part it says, And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in this first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. This is those who partake of the first resurrection. They shall live and reign with him 1,000 years, as princes or ministers of God and Christ. And in Revelation 5 verse 10, the American Standard Version translates, it tells of ones reading, And makest thou the ones redeemed to God by the Lamb's blood out of every kindred and tongue and nation and people, they are to be under our God a kingdom and priests, and they shall reign on the earth. In Hebrews 3, verse 1 it says, Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Jesus Christ. Some translations have confession instead of profession. The high priest of our confession. The Amplified reads this way, Thoughtfully and attentively consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest whom we confess as ours when we embrace the Christian faith. In Hebrews 7 verse 12 it speaks of the priesthood being changed and also of necessity a change of the law. What was wrong with the law? In Romans 7:12 it reads, The law was holy and the commandments holy and just and good. Before in verse 10 it says, the commandments which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. Why? Because they couldn't keep it because of sin. Verse 4, wherefore, my brethren, ye become dead to the law and married to Christ, whom God raised from the dead, and you need to bring forth fruit, that we should serve in newness of the Spirit and not in oldness of the letter. There is change from trying to keep the letter of the law to keep the spirit of the law to the best of our ability. Romans 7 verse 8 shows that chapters 7 and 8 show these two contrasts so well. In Romans 10 verse 4, Phillips reads, for Christ means the end of the struggle for righteousness by the law for everyone who follows or believes in him. In Hebrews chapter 9 tells of the first covenant and the tabernacle and the services of the priest once everything was in order. The priest went into the first part of the tabernacle to accomplish the service of God. Verse 7, but into the second part of the high priest went alone every year. He went in twice that day, and not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. This was a figure of the time then present. The blood of bulls and goats or calves or oxen, these sacrifices did not make him that did the service perfect or pertaining to the conscience. There is so much in this chapter 9 and its 28 verses. 20th century New Testament in verse 8 reads, the Holy Spirit is teaching that the way into the sanctuary was hidden, was not yet opened. But when Christ died, the curtain or the veil that separated the two sections, holy from the most holy, was torn or rent from top to bottom, exposing what was behind it. Verse 11, but Christ being come our high priest of good things to come, by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having attained eternal redemption for us. The Amplified reads, into the Holy of Holies of heaven. And verse 24 supports this. Back to verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Verse 15. And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament. The 20th century New Testament has, he is the intermediary of a new covenant. Goodspeed has, a negotiator of a new agreement. And Phillips has, Christ is consequently the administrator of an entirely new agreement. Those whom Christ's blood has purged to serve the living God. Those who are children of God. Romans 8, 16 and 17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Christ is negotiating an entirely new agreement. This is what might, that those that are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Well, the nation of Israel was called in to receive an inheritance, but also the church receives an inheritance as shown in Ephesians 1 verse 11 and verse 14. Then verse 16 to 22 shows that many uses of the blood with the purging and without shedding of blood is no remission. Verse 23, it was necessary that the pattern of things in the heaven should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. Moffat has required nobler sacrifices, and Weymouth reads, should be cleansed with more costly sacrifices. And Knox says, sacrifices more availing still. Verse 24 tells us Christ entered into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us, as verse 12 told us earlier. Part of verse 26, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. This is a ransom for all. This is like a foundation stone. Much more has to be built upon it to remove sin from the hearts of the willing and obedient of mankind. In verse 26, where it says, end of the world, one translation says, he has come to us at the end of the old order. Another says, upon the conjunction of the ages, or where the two ages join, the end of the Jewish age and the beginning of the gospel or Christian age. Verse 28, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and to them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin or without a sin offering. And those who look for him must be his followers. Weymouth has those who are eagerly expecting him, and the Amplified reads, eagerly, constantly, and patiently waiting for and expecting him. This can't be the world. A lot of them have never heard. A lot don't believe, or are atheists, evolutionists, etc. The end of this 28th verse says, unto salvation. Another one says, it brings to final salvation. Philip says, to bring to full salvation. And Romans tells us to make their salvation complete. Those who are ardently waiting for him know not what they shall be, as 1 John 3, 2 and 3 reads, beloved, now are we the sons of God. Excuse me. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him and see him as he is. And everyone that has this hope in himself purifieth himself, even as he is pure. This is the complete salvation. Now into chapter 10 of Hebrews, verse 1. The law having a shadow of good things to come. In chapter 8, verse 3 to 5, we read, every high priest served unto the example and shadow of heavenly things. And in Hebrews 7:12, the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. And it showed a number of changes. From verse 7 of chapter 10, then said I, this is referring to Jesus, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. He hath no pleasure in the offerings of the law. He takes away the first, that he may establish the second. In the 20th century New Testament reads, the former sacrifices are set aside to be replaced by the latter. In verse 12, this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin, is set down on the right hand of God. Quoted from Psalm 110, verse 1, and also Revelation 3, 21. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Some read for sanctified, being made holy, being sanctified, are being purified from sin. And Romans 8:29, for whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Verse 15, wherefore the Holy Spirit also is writing, or bearing witness with us, for after having said before, the Holy Spirit had told of the one offering, those sanctified, conformed to the image of his Son, better sacrifices. And after it had said this before, in verse 16 it says, This is the covenant I'll make with them after those days, said the Lord. I'll put my laws in their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. In Hebrews chapter 7, the same thing is referred to. Verse 8 on. Finding fault with them, that is Israel, he said, Behold, the days come that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and Judah. So it shows who these are. They are the people who came from Egypt. And that he said, The new covenant he maketh the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. Has it vanished away? Is it finished? Remember, this was probably written from Italy 20, 30 years after Christ's death. And then another 10, 20 years, the nation was scattered and the house left to them desolate, as Jesus had told them. In Hebrews 13:24, that was up to the end of verse 13 said, is ready to vanish away. Weymouth has, is not far from disappearing altogether. Moffat is on the verge of disappearing, and the New English Bible will shortly disappear. In Romans 11:25, Paul did not want the brethren to be ignorant of this mystery, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. RSV has the full number of the Gentiles come in. This was written nearly 2,000 years ago, and still part blindness is on Israel and Gentiles coming in. Back in Hebrews 10:19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to... One has for boldness, which I like a lot, is a cheerful endurance or a cheerful confidence to enter into the holies by the blood of Jesus. Verse 20, by a new and living way which he has consecrated for us. For consecrated some have instituted, dedicated, inaugurated, or opened up. So Christ has opened up a new and living way through his flesh. Some have for veil the separating curtain under the Holy of Holies. Verse 21 and 22, having an high priest over the house of God, this is the glorified Jesus. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. The rest of this chapter encourages to maintain this confidence and not be to draw back willfully, for there is no more sacrifices for sin. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3, for as much as ye are made are manifestly declared to be the epistles of Christ, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart. So here is another change, as was mentioned earlier, that our sufficiency is of God, verse 6, who hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, and many have new covenant for testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Our sufficiency is of God, because we can only live up to the Spirit and not to the letter. When made perfect, we'll be able to minister the glory of righteousness. Verse 12, seeing then that we have such hope, it is still future. Why do we hope for what we already have? Verse 15, but even unto this day when Moses is read, the veil is upon their hearts. And verse 16, Weymouth, but whenever they return to the Lord, the veil is taken down. And one comment I heard, when a Jewish person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. When Jew or Gentile turns to the Lord and walks in Christ's footsteps, peace be on them and mercy, These new creatures are the true Israel of God, Galatians 6:16. They are part of a chosen nation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. In 2 Corinthians 5:18, all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Christ Jesus, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To as many as will hear, but and some only partially. Verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. An ambassador doesn't administer the laws of the country he is in. He represents the country he is from, with their viewpoint or policy. Sometimes he is like a stranger in a foreign or hostile nation. The true believer is now an administrating ambassador for Christ in the present evil world. And Paul said he was an ambassador in bonds. Now to conclude or sum up. The word priest means a prince, minister. Priesthood means priestly office or assembly of priests. Priests are mentioned with Moses, Joseph, Abraham, and when he met Melchizedek, to whom he gave a tithe or a tenth. The next place Melchizedek is mentioned is in Psalm 110:4. In Hebrews 5:6-7, it tells of Christ at his being raised, a spiritual being, being a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. When Moses brought the people of Israel out of Egypt, God said they were to be a kingdom of priests, a holy nation, if they obeyed his voice. The firstborn saved from Egypt were exchanged for the tribe of Levi, with Aaron as the high priest and the Levites to help. This priesthood was a shadow or type of Christ and his footstep followers. None of these took their position themselves, but were called of God. Hebrews 5:4-5 and John 6:44. With change of priesthood and law, there was a number of differences shown. The priests were to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. Christ was made a merciful and perfect high priest through suffering, and is able to help those who are tempted, that they may become part of a royal or kingly priesthood, and can reign with Christ 1,000 years. The man Christ Jesus gave himself a ransom for all, applied for the church now and for all mankind later. The spirit of the law is written in the hearts of the believers now, so they have the hope of administering the law of the new covenant arrangement to Israel and Judah, and then to all mankind, and thus fulfill the promise to Abraham to bless all the families of the earth. May God forgive and overrule anything said amiss. Amen.